Today is a great day, and it's a day that I always look forward to. I used to tremble at the approach of Mother's Day because I didn't want to mess it up. And I know what I feel in my heart for my mom. I also know what I have walked through with the mother of my three children, Debbie, my wife, who is a great mom, but longed to be a mom long before it happened. So I know there were a lot of years there where it was challenging, painful, difficult to have that desire in her heart, and it wasn't happening. So I also know that there are moms, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you're here today and you're thinking, man, I would turn back the clock if I could, because there's some things I would do different. You can't do that, but you can really be affirmed in Jesus Christ that God has called you to a role that really won't go away as long as you have breath. So there's some of those things in my heart today because I want to talk to you about a role that you have played and continue to play. I think I've said Happy Mother's Day to every mother that I've bumped into this morning, and included Happy Grandmother's Day, and in some cases, Great Grandmother's Day. And therefore, my message applies to all ages and stages of mothers, because in fact, your job, though your kids may be grown and gone, doesn't end, and more on that in a minute. I want to take you to something that I came back Wednesday from being in Seattle, where my daughter graduated from flight school and is now a flight attendant and heading to Anchorage, Alaska. That's cold. That's north of here, a long way. But on the way back, I stopped by the hospital on purpose. My father had a surgery, and I had a quite memorable experience in the hospital I want to tell you about. I was with my mother, just she and I, waiting for the conclusion of my father's surgery. And I had time on my hands to kind of look around a waiting room. Maybe a total of 10 other surgical patients represented by their families in this same rather large waiting area. As we, about every half hour, would see a doctor come around a corner, sometimes call out a name, other times just notice somebody and the familiarity brought them together. But they would make their way then to a consult room where they would spend some time hearing how the surgery went and the outcome. Our time eventually came, and Dad's surgeon gave us a scoop on his surgery and his expected recovery. It's good news. It was very good news. In fact, he even gave us a picture to say, look, I really did this. I just want you to know. I didn't charge you an insane amount of money for nothing, okay? That was his words. So it was kind of fun. And he highlighted in the picture what he did. And it was good stuff. It was helpful. And for my mom and I, very informative. He took his time to explain things, and Dad's doing well, and we're much relieved, as you can imagine. It was a spinal surgery that he had. We went a little bit later after he had made his way to his room from recovery and spent some time with my dad, and he was already becoming his usual humorous self. So there was sort of a lighthearted kind of spirit in the room, and that was good. Now, back in the waiting room, I saw something else that left an impression on me. As I sat there, saw a doctor dressed in green hospital scrubs, whatever. Yeah, he was green, you know, looked like a leprechaun a little bit. But anyway, he came around the corner, and he made his way over to a family and began to visit with this family. But I noticed something about him and his approach. It was special. They sat there. It was obviously a mother and a daughter. And I'm not sure I didn't listen to what was going on. But he, instead of talking down to them, he got down like this, very much like this. And he's got his mask stuff still on. I mean, it was quite an impressive sight, you know. And he's talking to them, and I looked a little closer, tried not to be obvious, but I could see that he had taken them by the hand. He had one by each hand, and And he looked at them in the eye as he spoke softly and smiled, I think, tenderly. I could see it. And I could see the mother wiping a tear, but with a smile. And this went on for, maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I kind of lost track of time. But the whole time I was impressed as they learned of their loved one's surgical outcome. And I think it was actually good news that this doctor had to share with them. But as I watched this tender exchange, the tears flowed freely from the mom, especially. And I left with this insight. Both surgeons, that one on his knee with that family, and the one that went into the room and sat very reverently and respectfully with my mother and with me, they were both well-trained and likely highly competent. But you don't go to a doctor that's just, trying to figure it out. I know they call it practicing medicine, but you hope he's a pro, right? So that was an impression I had. And in both examples, they both conveyed very valuable information, important information. But one combined facts with feeling. I mean, there's no takeaway from our doctor. I could kiss him on the lips. He did such a great job. But what I watched in that one doctor was that his input had impact. When our doctor left, we said, hey, thanks so much. And it was a firm handshake. But, I'm not naming him in my will. I mean, there's none of that. He got enough. But but this was different. I think I've just described the incredible influence this morning of mothers. Moms who give input with heart have impact. And sometimes the impact is so great that it will take a lifetime to reveal itself. My thoughts on this Mother's Day come from and are shaped by the simple and succinct words that found their way into the opening chapter of Proverbs. I'd like you to turn there, and if you're seated next to your mom, why don't you do all the work and find that passage of Scripture. Page 439, Proverbs chapter 1. Given by God, penned by Solomon. They provide an important touch point to parents in general, and in particular, mothers on this Mother's Day. Verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Mothers are teachers who touch. Look back at verse 8, and I want you to notice a couple of things. First, the assumption. There's an assumption being made that parents will, with wisdom and care, instruct their children. That's the assumption in verse 8. So the emphasis does make its way to the children and the recipients of their instruction, but it starts, notice, with fathers and with mothers. The assumption being that they will teach. And in particular, attention is given to a mother's teaching. That made me wonder, what subject do you suppose moms teach? Well, I think we could make a list that's a mile long, couldn't we? I mean, we could come up with all the ways you learned something from your mother. But specific to the text, the word teaching is revealing. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Actually comes from a Hebrew word that's the word for Torah. Now you say, wow, we're going someplace. Don't forsake your mother's Torah? Is that, yeah, that's not far from accurate, in fact. What's the Torah? Well, it's the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They make up the Hebrew law or the Torah, the Bible in that day, given to God's people through Moses. So don't forsake your mother's explanation, may I embellish, explanation of the law of God once delivered by God through Moses. Mothers are to give their children law for their good. Now that brings some interesting images to mind. This involves telling them what to do, not being shy or timid about that, especially when they become teenagers and have something approaching this look most of the time. Now maybe yours is the exception. There's a lot of parents that will say the mountain that parenting represents, the mountain that you climb as a mother, is big. The more children, the mountain goes from, Bull Mountain to Mount Everest. You're somewhere in between there, right, Mom? It's a big mountain, and it gets bigger with multiple children because each child has their own unique bent. Train up a child according to his or her way, Proverbs 22:6 tells us. That means you've got to be an expert, not on children, but on children number one and on child number two. And if you watch 19 Kids and Counting, are you kidding me? You know, it's crazy. But you get the idea. That's a tall mountain. But it's a ton easier when they are these wonderful little darlings in your arms. What happens when they form a will of their own? Like, the second week of their life, you know? It gets hard. And then they've got not only ways to resist you, but to explain why. Well, I'm not going to do that. Here's why. Big, tall mountain. It involves telling them what to do. Don't be shy about that. And why? I want to develop this a little further. So hold your place in Proverbs. Go back to the fifth book of the Torah, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 6, would you? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy 6. I've told you this frequently, but it's worth saying again. This was Moses with the people on the precipice. He's on the threshold of entering into the promised land. Actually, they were. He wouldn't. And he captured the teaching of God, the law of God, one last time. That's where Deuteronomy comes. That means deuto or double, second law. Okay? So this law had been taught before, back in Exodus, but Moses comes with the people. They're looking at the promised land on the west side of the Jordan River. And he says, okay, now while you're all excited about going there, let me repeat a couple of things. Thus, Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses presents what has come to be known as the Shema. Shema simply is the Hebrew word for, everybody do this, okay? You're hearing. Shema means hear. Verse 4 begins with, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Let me stop and say, there's a difference between having it in your head, would you agree, and having it in your heart. They're to be on your hearts. Impress them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So we've just read words that describe what many of you mothers do on a daily basis. And verse 6 is telling. It says that, as I mentioned earlier, moms teach truth a certain way. How? They teach it from their heart. You want to impact a life, a message spoken from the heart enters the heart. That's where moms get their teaching. There's a passion that comes with information. It's like that doctor. He gave information, but boy, down on his knee, eye to eye with this concerned family, this burdened family, and it changed everything. Okay, so that's where it starts. Moms teach truth, and they teach it from their hearts. And so many of you do that so well. Notice too, moms teach, we're told next how and or where they're to teach. Well, we're told, may I paraphrase verse 7, anytime and anywhere. Did you notice when I read those words, verse 7, the four times the word when is in the text? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Let me summarize that. Anytime, anywhere. I remember a seminary professor was standing in line at a checkout, check stand at a grocery store, and his little boy was at an age where he was starting to understand body parts, and his father was trying to explain to him the wonderful beauty of the human body as God created, Psalm 139:14, fearfully and wonderfully made, wonderful truth, right? For some reason, this little boy, I don't know if he was five or something, just about school age, he decides at that moment to announce to everybody in the check stand and probably most of the county that he wanted everybody to know that his dad has a certain body part, and it's bigger than his body part. You remember the commercial from Southwest Airlines, Want to Get Away? That was that moment for my professor. You know what he said? No kidding. Gets down on his hands and knees. Says to little Billy, because all kids that talk like that are Billies. Anyway, gets down to little Billy. And he says, you know what? That's really true. Speaking in a very quiet voice. That's really true. And that's how God made things. And let's just thank God. Jesus, thank you for making Daddy this way and Billy this way. Amen. Teach everywhere you go. Don't duct tape that child's mouth shut. It's a moment that he had no boundaries. No one taught him. Uh-oh, you don't say that with other people in the room. He celebrated it in a holy, sanctified way. Cool. Praise God my kids never did anything like that. Man. So moms teach truth. You do this. I've watched Debbie. She does this all the time, everywhere, still does it. You know, we're going to trust God through this season in your life, through the unknown nexts in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you wonder about will be added to you. Matthew 6:33-4. That's just what moms do. Now, notice, too, that she's to teach truth any way she can. That's why he uses all these different verbs. He says, impress them on your children, verse 7. Talk about them. When you tie them as symbols on their hands. Bind them on their foot. Write them on the door frames of their houses. You know what we say today? Text them. Right? Instagram them. Whatever your method of communicating with your children, wherever you are, use it. Use it all the time. I visited a group of mothers recently at our Moms Connection. It's a monthly gathering it's the second Tuesday. In fact, it's next Tuesday. Monthly gathering of mothers of little people. And that's a wonderful time. They usually have speakers, and they come, and it's just a wonderful time, and they serve up great food when I crash the party, and I think they do that all the time. And then they served up this particular day when I visited with them, food for thought. And I asked them the question, what are some teachings, back to Proverbs, what are some teachings that you remember your mother giving you? And they said I could share some of those. Here, you'll appreciate their list. One mother said, your sin will find you out. Is that teaching still alive today? It should be. Should be. You can't control your kids, but you can say, Holy Spirit, make them miserable. Right? Okay. Here's a great one. Good thing you were cute. I love this one. I've heard this before. You'll understand when you're a mom someday. That's good. Here's one. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. And then I love this. Probably a child saying, you know, you're just a mediocre mom or something along that. This mom remembered this from her mom. God was the only perfect parent. It's great. Maybe you were a special challenge to your mother, like me. If James chapter 1, verse 2 is correct, consider it all pure joy when you encounter various trials. My mother lived a life of joy. Okay? There's no question about that. I remember the little prayer that my mother prayed for me daily. God help you if you ever do that again. That was my mom. Anybody else have that mom do that? Yeah? Okay. So I told you I'm back in Proverbs. Would you turn back there now if you were in Deuteronomy with me? Right on the heels of learning that moms are to teach your children, I want you to notice something next. Children are to receive and retain their parents' instruction. It's all packed in this one little verse. Check it out. We're told, start with how the verse begins. Listen. Listen. Take it in. Be receptive. If you're a child today and you're grown up and you've done the dumb theological divide that says, well, you know, a child is really only a child at this age and then you don't have to listen, that's baloney. That's just dumb. Actually, it's unwise. So I don't know who came up with the idea. Really, was there a certain point I don't have to listen to my parents? No. I mean, that's a biblical answer. No. But if you wanted to split hairs and go, well, you know, I'm 12, I was bar mitzvahed, big deal. Listen to your mom, right? I'm speaking to myself. Listen to her. She's got lots to give and lots to share. So listen, take it in, be receptive. Hear and heed her instruction. Notice also, same verse, and by the way, that would be maybe in the positive. The negative, we're told next, don't forsake your mother's teaching. Don't reject it. The teaching of your mother is to be held closely and followed carefully. Really, if you step back from it, what I'm saying makes absolute sense. It really does. I mean, really? She loves you. She gave life to you. She would still give her life for you. What's not to love about that? What's not to make that good stuff to listen to? And by the way, don't miss the payoff, verse 9. Kind of an ancient way of saying it's going to benefit your life. Your life will become more attractive. This teaching that you're supposed to listen to, that I'm supposed to take in, if I do that, if I hear it, heed it, they're a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Attractiveness to your life. You want more payoff? Just flip four chapters over. Chapter 6, a continuation of this same thought. My son, verse 20, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Starts exactly the way Proverbs 1 does. But then it adds this. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. That's a way of saying that way you won't forget them. Bind them around your neck, or around your heart, and fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. There's a benefit. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, your mom's counsel will speak to you. So during that same visit I mentioned earlier of those mothers at Mom's Connection, by the way, I did a little quick tally. There were 33 children represented by the mothers in that gathering. So collective good stuff. I went from my first question to my only other question. My first question was, remember teachings of your mother? And I shared some of those. Then I said, would you tell me some of your favorite teachings that you've imparted to your children and their comments I found very inspiring. This is a great one. These are some impressive moms. First words that came out, God is always there. I think it was, if I remember, spoken by a mother whose child is a bit vexed, troubled at the prospects that mommy can't be there all the time. So she gives actually excellent counsel. God is always there. Another mother said she uses this counsel frequently. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. That's good. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Straight out of the golden rule, right? Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. I love this one. Go to your room. and another one said, and cry in your own closet. That's pretty good. Here's another one from a mother that's planting good, smart seeds early. She said, everyone gets to make their own choices. Wow. And I will set this up so you appreciate it like I did. There was a mother of a very perfectionistic child. Anybody else have a child like that? Child wants to do it absolutely perfect. It's usually firstborn, not always. But it's that child that just will break a sweat at the thought of not doing it perfectly. This mother gives this counsel to her, I believe it was a daughter. If you did that perfectly, would God love you more? She's not done. And if you did that poorly, would God love you less? I went, whoa, that is really good. What followed that were these words from another mother, you never go wrong by doing right. And true to form, most moms need a little humor along the way to survive the day. This one apparently goes to the local library. And her favorite counsel to her children is, no donut if you freak out in the library. It's not a bad bribery. That'll work. You could do that here at church, too. We give donuts out. Just say, hey, no donut unless you take good notes on the pastor's sermon. That'll work. That'll. All right. I'm well aware of something this morning that moms come in all different stripes. There are some of you here today, moms, living the privilege. For you, today is filled with the profound privilege. And I'm so glad for that. You're living the dream. You're in that pinch me somebody, I can't believe this. This is so much better than anybody could predict. Good for you. I'm so glad for you. I really am. You're needed to inspire someone that's in it right now, and they're here. You're here today, Mom, with promise. You're excited, but you're in the journey still. You're wondering and hoping that it'll turn out well. There's that promise that's in your heart. And you know what? It wouldn't be an accurate Mother's Day if we weren't honest about there are some moms here in pain. You know, you wish you could change this or that about your approach, and typically that's a look back. And then there's some of you that are perplexed. Honestly, you've sowed seeds, and you continue to do so, but so far all you see is weeds. Okay, the logic's not working. I've sowed these seeds, but it's not working that way yet. What this talk today is trying to do is inspire all moms with a fresh vision. That teaching your people is a way that touches your people for eternity. It's really true. The truth is, even when times for teaching your children are over, and you could probably argue they never are over, but when that formal sense of engagement ends, your influence in their life goes on. It never ends. How so? You get to keep praying for them. You do. Keep the details of your children's lives covered in prayer. What a great ministry that goes on and on. And to all of us whose moms are still living, I want to encourage us with what we've read in Proverbs today, that we listen and that we learn and we live her teachings. I'm not the only son who wondered, how can I honor my mother this Mother's Day? And it's not just a one-day shot, or else it's kind of empty. And I got to thinking about this message and how I could honor my mom, and I can't think of a clearer way to honor my mother than to take what she taught me to heart. So this afternoon, when I'm hanging with my mom, because my dad's still recovering, I plan to tell her some of the things she taught me and thank her for teaching me those things. We have a treat for you this year, moms. I know we have some teachers. If you're a teacher in a public, private school, or have been, raise your hand right now. Okay? Now, you know this firsthand, that one of the ways your children in your class, your students, traditionally a way to express great honor is to bring a gift to teacher. Maybe it's at Christmas time, or if you know her birthday, or the last day of school, she survived another year with Steve, you know, kind of thing. Kind of a traditional symbol of a gift given to teachers is an apple, right? And thanks to Evie Hiskey and Vicky Kinez, who assisted along the way in all of this. Well, let me just hold out what we have here today. All homemade and hand-decorated apples. Actually, they're cookies with an apple look to them. And it says at the top, Happy Mother's Day. And it's I heart mom, and keep on teaching mom. And the big words are entrusted. Today is sort of a soft start to a new series called Entrusted, which is where you live out what you've been entrusted. And for moms, it's the role that we've profiled here this morning. As you leave today, every mom here at Grace Point gets an apple. And they'll be handed out at the door. But if you get a chance to thank Evie, I mean, they're delicious, I'm sure. I know you'll want to thank her. And Vicky, too, thank you for your work in coming up with something very special. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a last song or two, and you'll be on for your day. Let's bow together. You're hearing this Mother's Day message. Let me say it one more time, because I really do have a big heart for you. If you're feeling stretched, I want to pray for you this morning. If you're hearing this Mother's Day message and you're feeling regret, you didn't start out that way. It was not your goal. But that's what you've got. I want to pray for you. And if you're hearing this Mother's Day message and you're feeling incredibly honored and fulfilled, I want to pray for you. There's a song that's going to be presented in a moment, Come As You Are. It includes wonderful lyrics. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame, lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. There's joy in the morning. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And those words, God, are not just appropriate for a song, but for a season. Moms carry so much in their hearts for their children. And some in this gathering today have done their level best, and yet there are moments in what they've done that just haven't turned out as they had wished. And some are in it right now, God. Some are so stretched, so stressed. I pray that you would give them just a flood of grace promised by you daily, mercies new by you every single day, to be the best mom she can be. Pray, God, we have this weird thing we can't forget. But I pray that the grip of regret would lose its hold on some moms' hearts today. And I pray that if any of us have a chance to go to a mom, our own mom starting there, and say, look, you kick yourself around, please don't do that. I love you. I value what you gave. You gave your best. I pray that you would set some moms free today. And for those moms who are living the dream, I just pray that today would be so full of joy and fulfillment because of your great gift to them. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for teaching us truth. Thank you for this day to honor moms. In your wonderful name.